How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. Today, we're taking a look at the starting rotation, what it's going to look like going into the season. I don't think that the opening day starter has any indication of how the rotation is going to look. More so, who's furthest along in their throwing program? Clearly, Marcus Stroman decided he's not where he wants to be just yet. I think they want to give Rodon a little bit more time, as much time going into the regular season as possible. But he looks really good in his most recent start. On Monday, I believe. So, 5.2 innings, didn't give up a single run. He's been really good over his last two appearances. We'll talk about Rodon, where he slots, and what we need from him, but also our expectations for some of these other guys. Stroman, Cortez, Clark Schmidt. And the position battle between Will Warren and Luis Heal is certainly kind of heating up. And maybe there's an argument to make that Heal could slip into the rotation if Will Warren doesn't get it. But I think right now, consensus that Warren is going to win that job. Heal will probably be a multi-inning relief guy or a bullpen arm until he gets a little bit more action under his belt. Coming off a couple years of injury, I think it's fair to be a little bit more cautious with how they ramp him up instead of throwing him into the rotation mix and just, seeing if he survives. I don't think that's the best method and strategy the Yankees could probably go with, but Ryan, before we dive into it, we'll talk about Rodon as the first number one guy. With Gerrit Cole out of this rotation right now, we're both in the same kind of boat here. Rodon should be that number one. What do you expect from him this season? And before we dive into it, how do you do today, my friend?
I'm feeling great. I personally think Rodon's the guy that fits the profile of potentially filling out that A spot, because we know what the upside is, right? We've seen him be that guy. And look, I know some Yankee fans are going to be like, well, he's a bum, this, this, and that. You can't rely on him. Guys are hurt until they're not hurt. Injuries are the single most, least predictable variable in sports, despite what people may try to tell you. If you told me, and I remember saying, I think either on this podcast, definitely on this podcast actually, that you're going to enter your season with, you hope, about 80% of the rotation you had in spring training. If I told you that in a rotation with Nestor Cortez, who didn't pitch much last year, Carlos Rodon, who didn't pitch much last year and has an injury history, Marcus Stroman, who really fumbled down the second half with his hip issues, Clark Schmidt, who underwent Tommy John surgery in years past, and he was drafted, actually. When he was drafted, he was recovering from Tommy John surgery and has only made 30 starts in a season once in his entire life. And then Gerrit Cole, the one guy who never gets hurt. And I asked you, hey guys, who do you think is going to be the one guy who misses opening day? None of you would have landed on Gerrit Cole. Not a single one of you guys would have landed on Gerrit Cole. Don't lie and say, I knew he was going to get hurt. None of you would have landed on him. So if you're going to use, you can't rely on him. Maybe you can't, and I'm not saying you can just map him out, Rodon out for 30 starts, but until he's hurt, he's healthy, and he's around, and he's available, and he is the pitcher he is right now, which is a healthy guy who has looked better in spring training, who his fastball is back, his movement profile's velocity, the addition of a cutter should help him. He's a guy who I think can miss bats at a high level, which is super important, who has a pretty good command of his pitch mix, and that cutter should give him something to prevent damage contact. So overall, I think the profile for him fits an ace's profile. Now, is he going to do what he did with the Giants in 2022, which is like have the best F4 in all of baseball for pitchers? Maybe not. Probably not, if we're being honest with ourselves. But can he be like a pretty good version of himself? Can he, be a 3.5, 3.4, maybe 3.3 ERA guy over 160, 170 innings? Absolutely could be. Absolutely can be. It's all there for him. He's just got to go out and pitch, and he's just got to go out and do his thing. He's done a lot of work to get himself into the right shape, and I feel good about Rodon. Of course, if we find out tomorrow he's dealing with soreness somewhere and he's hurt and he misses opening day, look, then we adjust from there. But right now he's healthy, and my evaluation of him is going to be based on the fact that he's currently healthy. I understand the mistrust. I understand the unease. I understand everything in regards to just being afraid to trust this rotation. And I am afraid to trust this rotation, but that's the only choice. The Yankees aren't going to find somebody else. You can't say they should start somebody else. They should find somebody else to be there in the rotation. They should sign Blake Snell. Blake Snell is no longer on the market, so you guys can't comment that at us anymore. Unfortunately, we're not Hal Steinbrenner. We can't make those financial decisions either. But yeah, as it pertains to Carlos Rodon and his outlook for 2024, if he's healthy, he will pitch well. Right now, he's healthy. And until that changes, I feel good about him entering the season.
Yeah, me too. I feel pretty good that Rodon's going to have a nice bounce back year. The dropping the weight, increasing his flexibility, and obviously ramping up the right way. No tweaks or kinks in the armor just yet. Knock on wood. I'm feeling pretty confident about it. But number two in the list here is Marcus Stroman. Now, Marcus Stroman was the pivot when Blake Snell said, "No, thank you, Yankees. I don't want $25 million per season. I'd rather go with a two-year deal at $62 million." And it looks like he made a big mistake. He could have had a six-year deal at worth $150 mil, but instead he settles. And by the time this, I think he isn't out after this, after next season. But I just don't think at 32 years old he's going to get a contract that he is going to pay him $150 mil. So we'll see where he goes from there. But it looks like he made a big mistake, and the Yankees said, "Well, you know, see you later, sayonara. We're going to go with Marcus Stroman, who's 32 years old. We're going to sign him to $17.5 million per season on a two-year, $37 million deal that includes a player option." for the 2025 season if he pitches a minimum of 140 innings, which he has not done in two consecutive years. So, Stroman, good pitcher, big personality, obviously probably could have avoided a little bit of backlash from the fan base. So when he said, "Yeah, I don't want to pitch opening day, I rejected it," probably didn't have to say that, but nonetheless, that's his personality. We're going to have to deal with that. High ground ball pitcher, fits Yankee Stadium like a glove. He's not a big strikeout arm, but again, the ground balls are going to be really good for us. Doesn't give up many home runs, never has. Doesn't walk too many batters. I think he's probably a solid pitcher for us this year. He's a number three behind Gerrit Cole and Rodon. Right now, with Gerrit Cole out, he's our number two. His velocity kind of hovers around the 92 to 93 mile an hour range, which is not bad, but obviously not what it used to be when he was a little bit younger, when he was, you know, 26, 27. 5 years later, it's definitely seeing a pretty significant decrease. Only was at 92.2 last season compared to 93 in 2021 and 22. So, Ryan, looking at Marcus Stroman, who has a 3.68 ERA over 14.2 innings of spring ball. His ground ball rate's a little bit down, but again, he's ramping up. Nothing to be concerned about. What are your thoughts about him this year? I think he'll be a solid mid-rotation arm for us. I don't expect nothing more than that. Solid mid-rotation guy if he stays healthy. But I think that was a pretty good value grab for the Yankees, and I think he will probably exceed the value that we're paying him.
Yeah, as long as he does what he did last year, except a little more consistent, perhaps, yeah, he'll exceed that $17.5 million or $18 million. I'm not exactly sure what the exact number is, but it's in that range. But something that I really think is important to talk about is how the Yankees ended up with Marcus Stroman, which is they went for Yamamoto, didn't work out. They went for Blake Snell. Snell turns down the money. Was it the right decision for Snell to turn down the money? Wait and see. You know, if he ends up getting a big-time contract next offseason, then you could say it paid off for him, but that's TBD. They weren't going to, I guess for lack of better words, they weren't going to sit on their hands and wait for Blake Snell's market to crash while letting every other option on the in free agency pass them by, right? Between Blake Snell signing and Yamamoto signing with the Dodgers, Cease got traded. We found out Burns got traded. Bieber was pulled off the market, essentially. Stroman signed. So, you know, you would have lost probably your A, B, and C options after Yamamoto, or I guess if you factored Stroman out of the equation, what would have been your A, B, and C options? And you wouldn't, I mean, the Yankees were going to trade Spencer Jones. We knew Cease and Burns were not happening unless they traded Spencer Jones. And Alex, because they weren't trading Spencer Jones, they weren't realistic options. So it was Snell or Stroman. They tried for Snell. He said no. So they pivoted to Stroman. They weren't going to spend the majority of spring training with especially with Gerrit Cole being hurt. Could you imagine the panic that would have set in, or the lack of leverage the Yankees would have had in those negotiations had it come out that, you know, the Yankees didn't sign another starter, and it would have been what? Rodon, Cortez, Schmidt, Warren, Beater, Heel, Weaver? Like, it's an ugly, that's a bad rotation. Like, that's where we go from like, you know what, these guys can ball out a little bit while Cole's out, maybe, hopefully, to these guys suck, like, respectfully. You know what I mean? And that's not even to say, like, Warren or Weaver can't do anything this year. More so to be like, hey, we understand rookies aren't stars. There's a reason they're rookies. Like, if you're expecting a rookie or your sixth starter to be a top of the rotation or middle of the rotation caliber arm, you're crazy. Now, Stroman is a perfect middle of the rotation arm. Gets a lot of ground balls, good sinker. I'm not saying spring training results mean anything, but I think that 3.86 ERA, what was he at last year? I think he was at like a 3.95, year before 3.50. Yeah, somewhere in that range, right? Like mid to high 3 ERA. You give me a 3.8 ERA, man, over 28, 29 starts. That's a huge win. That's a huge win for the Yankees. That'd be a massive win. Who'd they, I mean, that would be their second best starter last year. And they were, what, six games out of a playoff spot with, like, their entire rotation sucking? So, yeah, I would take Stroman at, like, 3.8 ERA, 3.9. Give me 27, 28, 29, hopefully 30 starts. Somewhere in that range, as you mentioned. Not much higher, not much lower than where he was last year, which is a good thing, honestly.
Exactly, yeah. We're hoping kind of for him to run it back. He was really good, actually, until the All-Star break, and then he picked up, I think, a pelvis injury or something like that, and he really started to see a downturn in statistical production, and he was really good. He was one of the best pitchers in the league before that. So Yankees just need him to stay healthy, and I think he'll be a really solid arm for us. Now, the next one on the list is Clark Schmidt. Schmidt, obviously, a little bit of a polarizing pitcher for the Yankees. We expect him to take a step forward, introducing a cutter. You know, this is definitely a guy who I think he had a split-finger changeup this spring, kind of a weird new pitch he's using. They're trying to introduce some new pitches to help, you know, create more deviation, create more lack of predictability from opposing hitters. He's 28 years old, 1 year of starting experience under his belt, had a 4.64 ERA last year, 159 innings, had really only like one good month. The rest of it was like really up and down every month, had a couple weeks that were good, a couple weeks that were bad, a couple starts that were awful, some that were really good. You just need a little bit more consistency from Clark Schmidt. That's what we're hoping for. Has 12 innings under his belt this spring with a 4.5 ERA. Strikeouts are a little bit up to 9.75 per nine. Again, small sample size, so I wouldn't read too much into it. Ground ball rate maintaining basically his career averages. His walks are down this spring. His home runs allowed are down this spring. So at least those are signs of progress. Again, grain of salt, but signs of progress. You know, what are your thoughts on Clark Schmidt? He needs to step up. You know, the Yankees need him to be capable of being a number three. I think that's – he's our number four right now, but he's got to be capable of being a number three. When Cole comes back – he's probably our number five. I think Cortez, you know, will be ahead of him. I think I skipped Cortez in this equation, actually. Cortez will be number three right now with Cole out, and Clark Schmidt will be number four. But since we're already on the Clark Schmidt train right now, let's just talk about him for a second. Ryan, what are your expectations for him as the number three right now, number four when Cole returns?
Yeah, so I don't even know what noise I just made. I guess I'm just eager to talk about Clark Schmidt because that's my fucking guy. Like, I love Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt's somebody that was pounding the desk for last year, and it didn't really work the way I wanted it to. I would say it was like a so-so, kind of leaning more towards not a great hit. I mean, I guess the argument of Clark Schmidt versus Domingo Herman, you kind of win by default, but, you know, I expected more out of him, and I do expect more out of him this season. You can't just run back what he did last year. Talk about Stroman. Hey, just run it back what you did last year. You're stable, you know, just be a little more consistent, stay healthy, but for the most part, mid to high 3 ERA, we'll take it. For Schmidt, he wasn't in that range. He was a 4.64 ERA pitcher. That needs to get better. He was a 5 starter. Now he needs to be more of a 4, or as you mentioned, potentially even a 3 starter. And looking at his arsenal, a couple things I'm really encouraged by. He's getting more behind the cutter. There's more ride on that pitch. Sinker has a little more arm side run, a little more dip. Sweeper's moving a little bit more to the glove side, a little bit of a firmer velocity. The changeup, I think the changeup could be a difference maker for him because it's really not that bad of a pitch. Like, it's genuinely like a solid changeup. And the velocity's up across the board. His mechanics look a little bit different. They're very small tweaks, but they should result in him getting, I guess the word for it would be, it's kind of a lower release height because he's striding more down towards the plate, and that should generate a little more velo, and that velo should be consistent. If he's 94 to 95 all year on that fastball, he's going to be a stud. Like he's going to really help this team. I think last year, you know, he had great velocity out the gate and then got hammered. The velocity got lower and he actually pitched a little bit better. I don't think that's because he's better with worse stuff. I think it's just because he learned how to sequence everything. As he starts mixing in, you know, cutters to lefties, maybe throwing a few more changeup to lefties, you know, getting your sinker in there, your sweeper involved, your curveball involved, kind of a symphony of different movement profiles, then we can really start talking about, okay, this guy kind of has an arsenal that, you know, can play to both sides. I want to see more curveballs aggressively to lefties. That curveball is such a good pitch. I need him to throw it as much as possible to lefties. Cutters, let's get those back up in the zone. Now that he's getting more ride on it, let's get those up in the zone. Let's get the movement we're looking for to stay up in the zone, of course. You know, that sweeper, I like that the sweeper is getting more glove side movement because I think it'll result in more swings and misses. The curveball, of course, like it's just a stellar pitch. There's nothing wrong with his curveball. The big pitch here is the sweeper. The sweeper went from his best pitch in 2022 to below average pitch in 2023. If that sweeper gets back to being what it was in 2022, from below average to really good, I think it's going to unlock the rest of his profile. He doesn't have to excel against lefties. He just has to hang in there, I guess is the best word I could use here. And I think hanging in there is the terminology. I'm going to be very specific about that because I think that's something he's going to have to work on. I think that's something he's going to have to improve upon. And ultimately, I think the Yankees have a really strong foundation for what could be a good starter in Clark Schmidt and a guy who could be here for the future. You know, I was talking about this with a good buddy of mine, you know, Max Greenfield. He's a really smart guy, good pitching coach, smart dude. And we were talking about like extension candidates. If Schmidt were to really ball out this year, considering he'd hit free agency when he's like 32, 33, he's in his last 3 years of arbitration after this year. Maybe the Yankees say, hey, here's a 5-year deal, $60 million, $70 million. You're a New York Yankee and you're a long-term piece of this rotation. The Yankees get another. Now you have Cole Rodon, and if Rodon were to bounce back, of course, Cole Rodon and Schmidt anchoring the top three of your rotation for a while, and you kind of figure it out after that. Maybe your pitching prospects become more expendable, so on and so forth. Clark Schmidt's a very important piece of this team, and as we go forward, he'll become even more important because he's one of the he's the only guy currently healthy that made 30 starts last year. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The health is definitely a big variable. But let's take a look at Nestor Cortes for a second. Nestor Cortes coming off, obviously, the left rotator cuff injury last year that ended his season prematurely. 29 years old. We love Cortes. Good player. Really unique. Everything about him is fun to watch. He's struggled this spring, though. 8.10 ERA over 10 innings pitched. His strikeouts are up. Ground ball percentage is fine. Left on base rate is down. Giving up a couple homers. I think he's just kind of shaken off the rust personally. Again, grain of salt with spring training stats. Nothing to really look into there. But only pitched 63.1 innings last year. I would be lying if I didn't say I was concerned about Nestor Cortes's durability. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about him potentially missing time with some sort of injury this upcoming season, mainly because going into the winter, he was still dealing with that shoulder injury. He had to go down to Tampa early to get it kind of situated with the Yankee staff, which to me is a bit concerning. I don't think it's necessarily 100% cleared up and gone. I think he's working through it. I think he's getting better. But I am a bit concerned about his usage. You know, what are your expectations for Nestor Cortes? Love the guy. Great teammate. Great player when he's healthy. He was an all-star a couple years ago. But I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit concerned about him being a full-year pitcher for us. I think he's going to miss some time at some point.
Well, he's our opening day starter. So that's the first kind of the open. He is the opening day starter. And his first start of the season will, I think, you know, not set the tone for the rest of this year. That would be a little crazy to say. Like, we saw Gerrit Cole, you know, get off to a pretty poor start in 2022, and he still managed to have a pretty strong year. Or, you know, I think Rizzo had, like, more home runs than Judge at the end of April of 2022, and then Judge went on to set the AL home run record. So, you know, I'm not going to buy too much into, like, even what they do early on. But as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, Cortes is coming back from a shoulder problem. I think shoulders are a little more concerning than elbows even, or, you know, back problems or hamstring or stuff of that nature. The shoulder can kind of bark up quick. I think they avoided a situation like they had with Montas where it was like, oh, he's fine, I think. And then, oh my God, he needs surgery. He's out for the entire year. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. I think they've avoided that situation. Could it bark up during the year? Absolutely. Could he be a guy who, you know, you need to make a couple spot starts for? Sure. But right now he's healthy. That's number one. That's the, you know, knock on wood. Hopefully that stays the same. Kind of like the same thing with Rodon, where he's currently healthy. And I'm going to evaluate him under those lens, but, you know, kind of be understanding of the risk here. The movement profile and the velocity are all back to where they should be. They're all back to where they were in 2022, which is super, not concerning, super exciting. Definitely the opposite of concerning. And if he can get his cutter to kind of be the pitch it was last year, I've never really been that concerned about the four-seamer. The four-seamer performed pretty well last year. The cutter is really like, that pitch stunk last year. It went from, oh, it's a great pitch, and it was actually performing well early on, to yikes, you know, like, oh, this is a bad offering. This pitch is not helping him. And it really proved to be an issue. Now, in spring training, it has not gotten the results he's looking for. It has been, I think it's got a four, if I'm reading this correctly, a 4.93 wOBA allowed, which isn't super, you know, that's not great, certainly not great, but it is spring training. The hard hit rates are pretty high. That's, again, not great, but it is spring. It's kind of like it's not great, but it's spring training. I kind of hope that just fixes itself up during the season. I think it will. I think, you know, the thing that really I care about for these guys is, can you end on a high note, right? Like Rodon, can you, your final start, it doesn't have to be five no-hit innings. It doesn't even have to be a pretty ERA, but can you say, okay, I didn't allow that much hard contact and I struck out a lot of guys today. That's a win. I can get ready for my first start. Cortez, same thing. His last start, I'm going to be looking and saying, all right, what's the command looking like? What's the finesse looking like? If the cutter, if his best start is the last day of spring training, that's a huge win. His spring training was a success, and then we'll kind of start grading him based on his regular season. But as you mentioned, there is concern with Cortez, and that's because it was a shoulder problem. And a shoulder problem is so much more concerning than any other issue I think any of these guys had last year. So wait and see, but I am at least encouraged by the stuff and the movement.
Absolutely, me too. So, you know, looking at the last guy in this equation, and, you know, we kind of pair Luis Gil and Will Warren together, I think that you and I are in agreement here that, you know, he needs a little bit more time to ramp up. He's coming off some major injuries. They really don't want to. I think trusting him now would be a mistake. I think utilizing him like a Johnny Brito, like we did last year with him, would kind of be how I would operate if I were the Yankees. Spot starter, you know, long inning relief guy, let him get into the mix. I think that might be a good option for them with Luis Gil. Will Warren, on the other hand, I think needs to be thrown into the fire. I think he's good enough. You know, 24 years old, we've interviewed him. He's a great kid. You know, 4.35 ERA this spring training. Had a little bit of a tough performance in his last one, but a couple errors didn't do many favors. Give up two earned runs, so it was nothing crazy, nothing to write home about. Good strikeout numbers, good ground ball rates. I'd love to see his left on base percentage get a little bit of a boost there, but I think better defense will certainly help. And then, you know, not giving up too many home runs or walks this spring. Again, sample size is small, but I know you're a big fan of Will Warren and what he can do. He is, some would say, even he would proclaim, is elite against right-handed batters. But when it comes against lefties, he does have a few issues. He's introduced a cutter. You know, he's introduced some pitches to help him get out of these situations where he's had some issues before. Where do you think, you know, he needs to improve? How do you think he fares to open up the year? And, you know, do you think that he could be a long-term starter for us? Even if it's just a back-end guy for now, I think he has the talent to be more than that.
Yeah, so right now, really the reason why Luis Gil won't win the fifth starter job in my eyes is because he isn't built up for it. And I think actually another comparison I would use to kind of like look at his role, Clark Schmidt in 2022. Obviously, we just talked about, oh, Clark Schmidt's the only guy who last year made 30 starts. He's the guy you can, you know, hopefully rely upon to be a little bit durable for you. Well, guess what? Clark Schmidt before that was this oft-injured, unreliable arm who kept getting hurt. When the Yankees drafted him, he had Tommy John surgery. He was recovering from it, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, looking at Luis Gil, it's not the worst thing in the world for him to, in his age 25, yes, he'll turn 26 this year, and that'll mean that if he becomes a full-time starter, it'll be in his age 26 season. You know what? Who cares? The innings on the arm, there's not a lot of innings on his arm. There have been a plethora of guys, especially in recent years, who have become full-time starters in their later 20s, and that doesn't affect their development that much. Luis Gil can really be a weapon for this team still. Give me a couple of, you know, be a multi-inning reliever for a little bit, kind of make some spot starts. Maybe you can Michael King him, right, where Michael King was coming off of an elbow situation and, you know, was able, now his UCL was intact and it was a fracture, so it's a little bit different. But man, he's been impressive, and I want to highlight just how impressive he's been, because I don't want this conversation to only be like, oh yeah, Will Warren's the fifth starter and Luis Gil, he just doesn't even matter. He matters. And I, honestly, I'm being real with you, Alex, because he'll probably be in AAA and he's getting built up. If somebody else were to go down, now granted, if somebody were to go down a week into the season, you're not going to just go to Luis Gil. It'll probably be Luke Weaver. But if it's like a month into the year, get me some loose Luis Gil action. That changeup's gross, dude. Like, he's legitimately disgustingly good. And as it pertains to Will Warren, look, I know he had that start in Fenway, at Fenway South, and I know people are like, the Yankees are giving, he's now the favorite because of that awful start. What's wrong with the spring training ERA, first and foremost? Like, unless you think Carlos Rodon's putting a sub-3 ERA this year, no guarantee, lock it in. Like, you can't doubt that. You can't look at ERA. You just can't. It's spring training ERA. That crap doesn't matter, right? You know, I think the stuff is good. The Arsenal, as you mentioned, added a cutter, added a four-seamer last year. You know, these pitches should help him against lefties. They did help him against lefties down the stretch. He is their most accomplished minor league arm. He is their most highly ranked minor league arm outside of, like, Chase Hampton and potentially Henry Lane. I had Lane and Hampton ahead of him, but Lalane is 19 and has never pitched above the Florida Complex League, so wasn't even a factor in that. And then Chase Hampton hasn't pitched above AA, so he's a little bit more of like a down the road, maybe later in the year, maybe next year kind of guy. But again, kind of wrapping things back to Will Warren, sweeper, sinker, they're nasty, they're gross, they're two elite pitches. You know, he'll hammer right-handed hitting. They won't really do much against him. The only question's against lefties, but I actually like the profile there too. The changeup's good, the four-seamer's good, the cutter's, it's solid, it's okay. You know, and if he can just kind of mix in everything well, which he did last year, he should be able to throw hitters off. The really cool thing about his profile is if you look at the sinker, the sweeper, the cutter, and the changeup, they're all like at very similar vertical movement profiles. They all have very similar vertical movement and they move in a bunch of different directions. So he's very east to west, and then he has his four seamer that kind of separates itself as the vertical pitch. Now his changeup gets a little more dropped than everything else. So it's kind of like a, you know, you've got sweeper moving this way, sinker moving that way, cutter somewhere in the middle, change up kind of a little bit below everything else, but with some arm side action. And then the fastball is it's got way more vertical ride than everything else he throws. So he's just got five different, very distinct movement profiles. And I think that'll help him a ton. And yeah, I think he's a capable fifth starter. He gets ground balls. The Yankees infield defense certainly plays to that. He can get swings and misses again. The Yankees, that'll help him a ton. And he doesn't walk a ton of guys. That'll help. Like he's built to be a major league starting pitcher, and I think he'll certainly exceed in that role. But if we're talking about like six starters, potential guys who could come in and win the job later down the road, or maybe surprise us, Luis Heel stands out as like, it's got to be Warren or Heel. It really, at this point, it can't be anybody else. I know Luke Weaver starting tonight. No disrespect to Luke Weaver. Clayton Beater's had a strong spring training. No disrespect to Clayton Beater. Cody Poteet's done a couple of nice things here and there. No disrespect to him. But right now, in my eyes, it's a two-legged race. And it's between a guy who's got a nasty sinker sweeper and a guy who's got a fastball that looks just like Gerrit Cole's. And those are the only two guys I want to be evaluating for my fifth starter right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now the Yankees, while they project well, losing Cole is a big deal, as we all know. So right now we got to kind of survive until then. Having Juan Soto is definitely going to help us offensively and produce more runs and cover up some of the blemishes that I'm sure our pitching staff will put forth in the coming weeks until Cole is able to make a return. But guys, love to hear your perspectives down below on your opinions. Where do you think this rotation is? Who do you think the five guys are right now? How would you rank them? Always happy to hear your thoughts in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.